Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Good evening, White Sox fans. Today, at the time of this recording, it is Wednesday, September 3rd, 2025. We are in the final stretch of the regular season for this White Sox team that has zero shot at making the playoffs. But, you know, we're watching some good baseball since the All-Star break has passed. And tonight, Jacob and I are going to spend some time getting into what the rest of the season is going to look like. But my name is Danny Miller. The gentleman sitting across from me is Jake Thome. And this is the latest edition of Future Sox Hot Takes and Heaters. How you doing tonight, Jake?
We're hanging in there. Might get wiped out by a thunderstorm here shortly, but other than that, we're all good.
Oh no. Yeah, you know, speaking of weather, man, I spent like 5 days out at the campground, man. It was actually pretty cool. Wife and I and my brother and just about every one of my friends went out and spent some time hanging out for the end of the summer. Had all the smokers in the entire place going. I think I had my fill of smoked meat for about 3 or 4 days straight there. And, man, did you get a chance to get outside and maybe get a possibility to see the auroras that supposedly came through the last night or two?
I don't think they came down this far south. No. I have seen them this far south before, but I don't think we were included in that.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed, man. I was looking for them on Monday night, and I didn't quite get a chance. And then I heard Tuesday was going to be better. And then I looked at the forecast, and they said, "Nah, it's not going to happen." And then lo and behold,
your phone camera.
Yeah, it definitely brightens it up. But I checked, and I didn't get anything where we were. I think there's just too much light pollution. But then last night, I see just not far from me, just a little bit east of me here at the Indiana Dunes State Park, man. They had some amazing views, apparently. So I was a little upset about that, but you know, it is what it is, man. I saw them last May. I think it was May 10th last year, and we had that huge geomagnetic storm, and oh man, it was unbelievable. Like, you didn't need a phone camera. It was like blazing lights in the sky, you know, naked eye. Pretty cool stuff. So anywho, man, The White Sox are currently in Minnesota, and we are watching Byron Buxton just go ahead and do what Byron Buxton does. He just hit a triple in the bottom of the fifth, and the White Sox are currently trailing 2-1 after a banger of a game last night where they defeated the Twinkies 12-3 with an outburst of offense and a bunch of homers. So, you know, let's get into what the White Sox season looks like the rest of the way out, and what they've done with the roster since we've expanded to 28 here. What do you think right now? If you had to make a prediction, the White Sox currently sit 51-88 on their record, and that's not including tonight's game, obviously. But What do you think the rest of the season looks like? Do you want to throw a late season prediction on what the win loss column looks like at the end of the year?
My guess is 58.
Okay.
That's my official guest. Guest? Okay. Guest. There he is. yeah, I don't know. It's a pretty tough schedule. I mean, obviously, you still have the Padres again, or Padres in general, and then you have the Yankees again.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to look at
it. I mean, you end with Nationals.
The ones you haven't brought up, we got, let's see, 23 left. I think we got one tonight, and then one more against the Twinkies, three at the Tigers, three more at home against the Rays, and then we go to Cleveland for three with the Guardians, and then three more at home with the Royals as well. Or I'm sorry, the Orioles as well, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, I mean, it's not exactly the toughest schedule, or not exactly the easiest schedule, but I don't know, man. I'm kind of hoping that the White Sox can pull one out tonight. That'll leave us with 22 games left on the schedule, right? And if they get themselves to 52-88 tonight, let's say, that would mean for the last 22 games, they would have to go 500 to not hit that, you know, that really nasty 100 loss mark, right? If they could get to 63-99. I personally don't see it happening. But for the sake of argument, let's say it does. What have you to say about that?
Yeah, Venable's got to get manager of the year votes. If that's the case. Again, I don't think it's going to happen, but like if it does, I think he's a shoo-in to get votes, not win the award, but get votes. And yeah, you're looking at this whole thing next year a whole lot more excited than you are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing is I hear a lot of you know, chatter about what might happen with the White Sox draft lottery chances. And the reality is if they get to 62, 63 wins, nothing's going to change. Cuz if you look at Colorado picked in the top 10 last year and is not draft a lottery eligible. Washington chose number one last year. They're not draft lottery eligible. I think the two teams that you would have to worry about are like Pittsburgh and who's behind Pittsburgh as far as
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Atlanta's on a little bit of a heater. The Twins would honestly scare me.
The Twins
I'm tripping. There are 62 wins already. Never mind. Ignore that.
And chances are they're going to get a couple more before the season's over, right? Excuse me.
Yeah, no, they're not getting there.
So in reality, I mean, even if the White Sox, and I'm with you, I find it's going to be very difficult for them to even get close to, you know, getting 63 wins and avoiding the 100 loss mark. I would say that I'm somewhere in the 59 to 60 range myself. I think 58 might be shortchanging a little bit. We'll get into why a little, you know, throughout this show. But I think the reality is it doesn't really matter what they do here the rest of the way out. Pittsburgh, I think, is already at 61 wins. Like you said, you got Minnesota at 62. The Braves are at what are the Braves? I think the Braves are at 62 as well.
62,
yeah. So, I mean, you know, chances are that all of those teams are going to win at least one or two more games in the last few weeks of the season here. So even if the White Sox went on some kind of streak, we don't have to worry about them. Now, the other side of that coin is that, you know, it's only been going for a few years here, but the draft lottery for MLB, the team with the highest odds has not yet been chosen to pick first. So as a White Sox fan, do you want to have that chance with the highest odds, or are you playing the past and saying, no, I'd rather have the second or third highest odds because nobody with the highest odds has ever won before? If you were,
means it's due, right?
What's that?
That's how that works. That means it's due.
That's what I would say. I mean, you know, if you're a betting man never bets against the odds, does he?
Right.
He'll, you know, I don't know. I want to have the highest opportunity, which it doesn't look like that's going to be anything of a worry for the White Sox. So, you know, that's kind of where it's at. But as we move forward in the season, the Sox have made some roster moves to accommodate getting themselves to the 28-man active roster, and then they also moved some guys around aside from that as well. Give me your thoughts on the players and the moves that have been made this week.
Yeah. Interesting is the word I'd use. Bringing up Bryce Wilson, I think, is odd, but, you know, hey, whatever. I'm glad to see Ramos got his shot. I feel like that was almost a shoe-in once Robertson and Elko were already up. You needed a position player. It was either be him or Gonzalez, but Gonzalez had just got there, so that kind of makes sense. Clevinger is not up, and that was rumored but hasn't happened yet, which is a good thing.
Yet.
Yeah, keyword yet. So I don't hate it. I think Bryce Wilson's an interesting pick because of the bullpen arms they have already. I guess they're probably looking for another long reliever. I would assume Wilson's going to get starts. They also need to fill the Savale hole in the rotation now. So that kind of makes sense. But you also have five guys that are going to need to be out of the 40
to at avoid least.
Being rolled. Yeah. So.
I mean, honestly, there's and probably
one of them. So I would have called him up.
Yeah. See, now that's one that I'm like super perplexed about, right? And, you know, maybe we're splitting hairs here. You know, Tanner McDougal's been on a pretty strict pitch limit for the last few months. But at the same time, this is a guy I think you want to keep moving. You want to keep, you know, plugging along. And the thing about September call-ups is they don't count as an option. In Tanner McDougal's case, it would count as it, you know, obviously it starts the service time clock, right? Any time up at the MLB level, it starts the service time clock, but you know, you don't have to worry about it being an option. You can bring them up and it doesn't count as an option against them because it's a, you know, September call up. So you don't have to worry about option years later. But yeah, I don't understand why Bryce Wilson, who it hasn't, you know, he's been up and then back down and then hasn't done anything since he's gone back down. Why is this guy, he's pitching like a 7+ ERA, if I'm not mistaken. Correct?
That's what it was here in Chicago. I don't know what he was doing in Charlotte. I stopped paying attention. But
yeah. And I mean, you know, the thing is so we're looking at, you brought up Rule 5. Who are the five names that you're thinking need to be protected right now?
Yeah, I'm totally stealing this from Elijah. McDougal, Mason Adams, Shane Murphy, Switzer, Paulette, and Davitt are going to all need to come up. Yeah, that's a lot of names.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a couple names in there. I know a few people are like, what? No, you don't have to do that. Like, Tyler Schweitzer, he's a favorite of ours around here at Future Sox. He got brought up to AAA Birmingham. AAA Charlotte at the Knights, and he kind of went through some struggles and then went back down to Birmingham and just absolutely lit it up. So, you know, maybe the move was just a little too early, but the guy's got electric stuff. He's a pretty phenomenal pitcher. So shout out Tyler Schweitzer. I do believe that is a guy you need to protect. So I have seen some of the tweets out there like, oh, they don't really need to worry about him because his AAA numbers weren't great. But you know, you're looking at that as a as an armchair GM point of view. Other teams are looking at what he's done overall as a whole and what kind of stuff he's got. So yeah, I agree. He's got to go. He's got to be protected, right? But I mean, Mason Adams is going to be coming back from injury. I expect that he's going to be on the 40 man. Yes. Rather, what is it? December 1st? Is it the cutoff for that?
I believe so. Oh, I'm dark. I don't light again.
Tanner McDougal, if he's not brought up at some point in the season, I do expect him to be saved. Aldrin Batista, do you have any thoughts on him? Have you really paid attention to any of his stuff? He's another guy. I think.
Yeah, another injury guy. But I mean, the stuff's there.
Yeah, and since coming back from his injury, he's been pretty good. He's been solid.
Yeah.
Shane Murphy, obviously, we talked about. Peyton Paulette's definitely a guy who's, you know, been pretty high in the organization for a while. Especially, you know, he went through his struggles, whatever, and is now found himself a new role and has come alive again. Davitt Schweitzer. What about Connor McCullough? Do you see him garnering a protection? I don't believe you need to protect him. Connor McCullough. Then there's Eric Adler and what is the other guy's name? I'm trying to remember here. Plymel?
Chase Plymel.
Yeah, Chase Plymel.
His first name.
Yeah, that's it. Those are all guys I think, you know, they're Rule 5 eligible, but I don't think they need protection. But the reality remains, it's like, where are we calling up guys like Bryce Wilson right now?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so many guys that obviously we've just talked about that are going to need to be added. And I mean, it won't be an issue for these guys. That there's plenty of guys who they will easily offload either via trade or whatever this offseason. Ian on top of it. Pymel may have wrecked his shoulder the other night. So there's one guy, got out of the 40 man. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting choice to bring up Wilson. He was pitching okay in Charlotte, just over a 4 ERA, but like, hey, it's better than Clevinger. Like, if that was their, maybe that got leaked, and then they're like, well, we're not adding Clevinger, so we'll just bring up somebody else. And I'm sure Bryce Wilson's a better dude than Clevinger, which, you know, of all the bars that you have to clear, that one's pretty low. So. I mean, if that was the option, sure, but I would have brought up anybody.
Yeah, and I don't think it was so much leaked that SP5, as he's been known to be called in the White Sox Twitter, Clevinger, I don't think it was leaked that he was being called up. It was just a matter of he was scratched from a game over the weekend, and the assumptions immediately began to fly, right? And you know, people just assume that why else, if he's not hurt, why else is he being scratched? Is he coming up? You know, we even had a text conversation with Ian earlier talking about the possibility of maybe, you know, the getaway day. I don't know. I really hope not. I'd much rather see Tanner McDougal even on a limit. Even if he comes up, pitch him out of the pen if you got to keep him on a pitch limit. But keep him rolling. Keep him pitching. Keep him throwing. And give somebody who has got a chance to be on this team in the future an opportunity rather than somebody who's just coming in here to eat a handful of innings and not really have the best optics for the team, you know, i.e. Clevinger. So, and Ian says that we had information that he actually was getting called up. So
yeah, I thought James reported that.
And yeah, James, I saw I did see a tweet by James, but I wasn't sure how.
And Jim also tweeted that that he was getting called up. It wasn't just James; it was somebody else, Jim. But
And Ian says that was actually by people in the know. So it, the chance, the reason that he hasn't been up might have something to do related to optics. I don't know, but it's just odd. To me, it seems like an odd move, and it seems like a move that, I mean, even optics aside, doesn't seem to really make a whole lot of sense to me. I felt like that he was nothing more than a depth piece this season anyway, in a throwaway season, as it were. And it just doesn't make sense to not give somebody in the future, or in the, at least in the window of the future, what looks like could be part of the future, an opportunity here at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Three Jameses that tweeted it. James Fagan, Jim Margalis, and James Fox.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe it was a publicity thing where, like, they saw it and...
Yeah, I don't know.
They called Bryce Wilson and said, I don't know, idea.
Either way, none of them, neither of those moves makes any sense to me.
It's better than bringing up Clevinger.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Bringing up Clevinger or Bryce Wilson. I just don't get it. When there's other...
They want someone who's going to eat innings, I guess, but McDougal could have done that out of the pen, in my opinion, anyway.
I mean, why not? You decided to go a month of bullpen games anyway.
Right.
At this point, now you've got an extra pitcher to do it with. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me. So, as far as position players go, Brian Ramos... That move is taken, I'd say it's about 50-50 on the fan base if you've been paying attention, at least from what I've been seeing. What are your thoughts on him coming up? Have you paid attention to what he's been doing recently since he's come back from his injury? And then, of course, he's still only, 23 years old?
Something like that. He's young. Yeah, no, I'm excited. I like Brian Ramos. I mean, I don't know if there's a serious player there, but like, he was on the 40 man. You might as well give him a call. See what, you have 2 weeks. I mean, if there was anybody in Charlotte that I think was deserving of a call, it was him. We'll see what happens of it. He picked up a pair of RBIs last night. He's still only 23 years old, as you mentioned. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we could take a look at – I texted you something that I found that I saw from a Redditor. And I'm just going to go down this because, as we sit here and talk about the future of the ball club, right, and guys that look like they could be part of the future – post All-Star game hitting, and you sent me something as well too that I think we can probably get into a little bit here, and this kind of piggybacks off of what we were talking about, the possibilities of the White Sox maybe getting to 59-60 wins. But listen, I'm going to run down the list of what I got here, and then if you want to go over what you had, we can do that right after. But just for the sake of what the future of the roster looks like and guys that should be coming back and should be here next year. Post All-Star game, WRC plus, Kyle Teal, 144 WRC plus since the All-Star break. Colson Montgomery, 128. Luis Robert Jr., who is now on the shelf, with a a hammy or a groin, so we'll see how that goes. But he's a 125 post All-Star break WRC plus. Edgar Carroll, 117. Brooks Baldwin, 110. Lenin Sosa, 109. I feel like Mike Talkman has a shot at getting his. He's on one more year, a contract. He's at a 108 and 119 on the season. So he's actually fell off a little bit since the All-Star break. And then Chase Mydroth is at 105. So when you look at that, and Vargas at a 134 actually kind of shocks me. a little bit. I have, because I felt like he fell off a little bit, but apparently he has not. So looking at that, do you think there's an opportunity for Brian Ramos in there if he does what we think Brian Ramos can do?
Maybe. Can he learn left field? No. or first. I mean, there's another opportunity. No,
yeah,
I mean,
Elko is not doing what Elko does for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the issue with these middle infield guys. They have so many of them. Like, Jeurel Perez just hit 20 home runs. He's only 20 years old. But I don't know why I'm bringing him up. But, like, Antonacci, Bergola. Like, there's a bajillion middle infield, you know, prospects that the Sox have. And it's like, all right, what are you going to do with all these guys? Because you can't – they're already, like, near capacity. Like, somebody's going to – and you only really have, like, one left field spot open for next year. And I think Brooks Baldwin is probably, you know – Benintendi's still in the books. You're probably not trading that contract. So, like, you're probably stuck with Benintendi anyway. Like, they're going to – it's going to be – they're going to have some real interesting decisions here shortly, because their only holes right now is at first base. That's their only position held by a non – and left field. And left field. Those are their two holes. Hold
so, you think they got third base figured out?
Vargas has got a 134 WRC plus since the All-Star break.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to crown him. That's all I'm saying. I'm not ready to just hand him third base.
I mean, I'd play Miggy at first, and then I'd put I'd put Sosa at second, Montgomery at third, which I hate because he's been the lead at short, and then Mydroth at short. That's what okay. I would do. Right. Anyway.
And but yeah. Obviously, all this is way too early, but I mean, it's fun to explore what we were looking at.
Right yeah. Now. So, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I think everybody thought the offense was going to be anemic. And it turns out, like, the pitching staff's the issue. And the crazy thing about that list, right? Teal, Vargas, Montgomery, Robert Caro, Baldwin, Sosa, Talkman. Talkman and Robert are the only, like, veterans on that team. I think they're the only two players over the age of 25.
Yeah, Talkman. I think Vargas is 25. Clocking in at, like, 34.
Ooh, 33, yeah. Grandpa. Like, that's the big part about this is they're all extremely young. Most of them are rookies. Teal, I think, is the biggest shock to me. I know he's been really good, but, like, 144 WRC plus is insane, especially for a guy who's giving you solid defense behind the dish. So, yeah, that's a wicked number. And going back to, you know, what I sent, it's like these are the White Sox ranks post All-Star break as a team. They're sixth in runs, third in hits, fifth in home runs, fourth in average, and seventh in OPS. Pre All-Star break, they were 28th, 29th, 28th, 30th, and 30th.
So 28th in runs to sixth.
Yeah. The biggest shocker there for me is home runs.
Yeah, to go from 28th. Overall, fifth or sixth? Fifth, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy what a Colson Montgomery will do, but...
But it's not just Colson Montgomery. Right. They're all hitting tanks. Right. You know, ever since the attack the fastball strategy came along, and whatever was said in that meeting with Venable and then the team meeting, you know, that we go back to right after the All-Star break, whatever it is, it's working. Now, is that a Venable thing? Is that a Ryan Fuller thing? Can we attribute that to I'm gonna draw a blank now. The White Sox hitting coach. Some bitch. Marcus Thames, however you pronounce his name.
I think right, I'm thinking of Eric Thames.
Or Eric, I don't know. One of them pronounces it Thames and one of them pronounces Thames, and I can never remember. But yeah, I mean, who do you attribute that to? Or do you just attribute to finally, you know, kind of taking the, you know, giving them some slack in the leash and letting them loose? Because I feel like essentially approach was probably their number one issue for years now, it seems like. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's all of them. I mean, I'm sure they looked at analytics and whatever. And obviously Venable, just being a player, was like, hey, be more aggressive.
Thank you.
And it's
Ian.
It's resulted in a heck of an offense they've got there.
Marcus Thames.
Thames.
And Eric Thames. There you go.
Legendary. All right, cool. Milwaukee Brewer for what, a season and a half. Anyway. he had a like Andrew Vaughn type run. Anyway, back to topic. No, I mean, I think it's a combination of everything. I mean, I'm sure there was analytics that went into it. I'm sure there was just kind of a general baseball knowledge from Venable that was like, hey, probably should be more aggressive. I don't have the numbers, but I'd be interested to see what the walk rate did. Because it does seem like they're taking less walks, which is fine if you're going from 30th to or 28th to 5th in home runs and what, 29th to 3rd in average. I'm okay not walking, but yeah, I mean it's a really, really interesting switch up that has happened here and a good development.
All right, so that leads me to question: what are you a bigger fan of, WRC plus or OPS plus? Just as a barometer, they all have their uses, right? Obviously, but
I'm more of an OPS guy because I'm not an analytical guy and I don't actually know what either of them do. I know that's not true. I know what OPS is. I don't know what WRC plus is. I know it's wins, runs created, I believe. Weighted runs created.
Boom. Weighted. Yeah, weighted.
There we go. Created. There we go.
Plus.
Yeah, not a huge analytical guy, but more of a vibes guy. But yeah. I'm more of an OPS plus guy.
Okay. All right. I you know what? I won't disagree with it. And like I said, I think, you know, all the crazy analytics out there right now, they all kind of have their place and their time. The only reason I said that is because WRC plus and OPS plus, I feel like play hand in hand with each other, right? I feel like if you don't have a team with a good OPS plus, you're not getting guys on base in order to create the runs. So when we look at weighted runs created, I think you kind of have to have a decent to high OPS plus as a team. So, but I just maybe thought I'd throw that out at you. Maybe I caught you a little off guard on that. And my apologies, but just curious. And you know, if you're in the chat or if you're listening, go ahead and shoot us a comment. Let us know what you think. And any of this stuff, really, you can do that on our YouTube page where you can catch our live videos or hit us up on our Twitter account. Feel free to hit me or Jake on the side as well. But, you know, just some things that I wanted to kind of run down and take a look at, because obviously there's going to be some decisions that need to be made, especially, you know, we've been talking about Rule 5 eligible guys and, you know, the large majority of them, if not all of them, really are pitchers that we need to worry about protecting, right? So when it comes down to what we're looking at as far as position players, some of these guys are either going to have to get their opportunity in spring and early on with the team, or the White Sox are going to start out to make moves. So now that leads me to my next question to you, Jake, is do you expect a offseason that is busy for Chris Getz, and do we start seeing some of these guys get moved?
Yeah, I think it'll be busier on the trade front, just because they have to trade bullpen arms. It's not like, okay, they have to move something in that bullpen has to give.
Do you think they attach position players?
My guess would be no. I would guess it's one for one prospect. It's just easy, just layup prospect deals. Like my guess would be like Tyler Gilbert gets traded for prospect. You know, Tyler Alexander gets moved for a prospect, or unless they want to keep Alexander. But like Cam Boozer, like you need to do something with him if it's not DFA. If nobody wants him, DFA him. Because like you said, there has to be a freeing up of 40-man spots for some of these guys. So, yeah, I mean, and then in terms of signings, like, I think the signings of the Michael A. Taylors of the world and the Talkman's a bad example, but, you know, the Josh Rojas, those are done. I think if they sign anybody, it's going to be a prominent, decent player, or it's going to be a cheapy bullpen deal. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was a prominent bullpen deal either for a back-end guy. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what pops out to me anyway in terms of what the offseason is going to look like.
Yeah, you bring up stuff like that. Like, there were other people there, you know, one of the things that we were talking about when expanding the roster is, you know, like Robertson is up and he's here with the club. And people are wondering why. Like, why are we still giving this guy chances? He just hasn't really had anything to offer at this point. And when you talk about the signings of, like, the Rojases and the Michael A. Taylors, I almost have to include there, like, Dominic Fletcher, bringing him back and leaving him stuck in the minors right now. And, there's a lot of roster construction issues still to this point, even though, you know, you and I both would love to give Chris Getz and his crew all the credit in the world, but there's still some things that need to be sorted out, right? If this team wants to move forward, they're going to have to start making moves that make sense instead of just filling holes to put a guy in a position and not, you know, really worry about if they're going to be overly productive. And, you know, the idea on a lot of them was, of course, you know, you try to get what little you can out of them and flip them and turn it into prospects that, you know, continually keep that churn of pipeline, you know, throughout your system. But I feel like we're not that far from being a team that is starting to at least look at some of the finishing pieces coming up. If this team is seriously competitive as they have been in the second half of this season, with obvious holes still to fill, once those holes are filled, where do you go?
Right, that's the issue, right? Like, is where can you improve? Like, Luis is going to have to get a deal. You know, you have Braden Montgomery coming. You have a bunch of there's a bunch of pitching coming, but there's like a bunch of guys that I think you're still 50-50 on. Curtis Meade's one of them. I know I just got brought up in the chat. Of like, okay, like next year's a big year for these guys because eventually, like, there's too much talent coming. Like, you have to, especially if you're a middle infielder.
Right. How many shortstops?
It's going to be tough to stand the teams. Yeah.
You can only play one guy at shortstop every night.
Right.
Right.
And, like, so what is the course of action there in terms of, like, you know, how long of a leash do these guys have? You know, they have to find a power hitting first baseman, and that's the biggest weakness in the entire system because it's not in the system. Wilco has kind of proved to himself that he can probably stick it in the outfield, and there's nothing there. They're just not, like, DePino's their best shot, and he's a seventh round pick. Like, Elko is honestly probably their best shot, and I know.
And he's not doing anything at
MLB. Right. That's why, like, signing a first season. Yeah. That's why signing a first baseman to me makes the most sense, whether it's like a Josh Naylor. Like, if they're going to spend a bunch of money this year, it should be on a long-term, like, five-year deal.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
For a first baseman, that's what I think makes the most sense. We'll go from there. But in terms of other holes, like left field's going to come available, right field's going to come available, and both of those spots are going to come available in 27. But next year, like Tauchman and Benny aren't going anywhere.
At least not to start the season. Maybe you find somewhere to unload one or both of those guys. Mid-season, who knows? You could make an argument for both of them, I guess, to be traded this offseason, because now that we're at the end of the final season of Benintendi's contract, it's not a huge cap hit for teams. I shouldn't say cap, because there's not really a cap, but that, you know, there's not a big contract hit that's going to go against the CBA threshold. Or CBT threshold, whatever you want to call that. Tauchman, even though he's going to be 34 next season, has played. I mean, he's been solid the last few years. It's not just with the White Sox. He played over 100 games like 2 years in a row for the Cubs and was fairly decent for them before coming here. He just does things quietly. He's just not super flashy. But again, you know, I feel like, if there are teams out there that are looking for a cheap fix to fill a hole somewhere, maybe Getz does find value in either one of those guys. And then that begs the question of, like, well, now who do we bring up? Because there isn't a ton of outfield prospects in the organization as well that can be corner guys who can hit a bunch of tanks. Unless we're, like you said, you know, Wokal is probably still a year away. I'm just saying at least, but you know, George, he's still a kid, and you know, it still remains, in my opinion, still remains to be seen. Is he going to be an outfielder or a first baseman because of his age? I feel like he's still got some growing to do. How much more growing can he do and still be able to play a corner outfield position? I don't know, without looking like, you know, Gavin Sheets out there. He's being afforded more of an opportunity to play the outfield than Gavin Sheets ever was before, you know, Gavin Sheets decided to take it upon himself to make the transition from first base to outfield. But the reality is, and now, you know, we talk about those middle infield guys. Some of them are going to have to be, like Wolf brings up in the chat, some of them are going to have to be grabbing outfield gloves in the offseason if they want to find a place on this White Sox baseball club. It's hard to imagine what the future looks like, and if they are they going to spend money this season, or are we going to have another 60 to 65 win season next year where I will say this. We give everybody and their brother the opportunity to prove themselves, and then if you don't, you just don't, and see you later.
I think without spending money, there'll be a 70 win team next year.
Well, that's if the pitching pans out. But again, we've got a bunch of guys coming back from injury, so there's not necessarily. I don't want to. I think this coming season is going to be the most difficult season yet to make any real prognostications on win loss record and what the roster might look like at the end of the season, by the end of next year.
Yeah. Agree.
All right, what do you got up for us next? Anything you want to talk about?
Not really. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't have anything on mind. Do you have something on mind?
No, I mean, really, that was it. It's just kind of, I don't know. I'm still perplexed at some of these moves, and I'm still having a real difficult time. If I were GM, if I was in Chris Ketch's shoes, what is my direction from here on out? This is Wolf Larson was talking about. Oh, he was intrigued by the
Murakami,
the Japanese guy we were talking about last week. Yeah, Murakami. I guess is going. Is he? I don't think he's been approved yet. I don't think that process even begins yet. I think it's kind of something that's in the process. Yeah, but he's going to look to make himself eligible to come over and play in the U.S. Dude,
if you're gonna make a free agent signing, that's the one you should make. If you're gonna go all in on one player, that's the guy you should grab. He's going to LA though. What? That's pretty much done.
You think so? I think it's going to be LA or somewhere on the West Coast. Dodgers, Angels, maybe the Mariners.
I mean, I think where David brings this up, like the outfield is going to be the same as it is now. Brady Montgomery will be here sometime next year. He will not crack the opening day roster. Unless he has an insane spring, but he will be here unless something goes Colson Montgomery type wrong. Like, he makes the most sense to me is he's the trade deadline guy, and they trade Talkman at the deadline and bring up Brayden. That, to me, makes the most sense. Like, that fits that timeline, and then he's your right fielder. Because I don't think they're going to trade Luis. I really don't. I think Luis is here for the long haul.
So you think they give Luis the contract?
Yes.
Okay, pick up his option? I almost feel like you have to at this point.
Or they decline the option and they
bring him back on a cheaper contract.
And they re-sign him to it, yeah. Because you have to argue with Luis. It's like, all right, nobody's going to give you 20 minutes. What's up, Beef?
What up, Beef? You know, I'm glad he's here, actually. I want to revisit something from last week that I never actually reached out to him about.
All right, go ahead.
So, Beef, since you're here, and I don't know how in-depth you're going to want to get into this over the chat, but we talked a little bit about Ishbia last week after I had seen you at the ball game for when they honored my niece's softball World Series softball team on the field, and you and I talked in the stands a little bit about, holy shit, you know, this is a fun White Sox team, and now we have Justin Ishbia on the, you know, in the ownership group. So, Beef, is there a way, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is there a way for Justin Ishbia to influence the money spent on payroll without screwing himself as far as being able to buy remaining shares later on? Or do you think that is something that he should be looking at doing and forget about what the valuation of the shares and the ball club are later when it's time for him to take over as the the prime stakeholder, the prime shareholder? Now, hopefully he's still here, but answer that. I know that was a lot of mumbo jumbo, but
number five.
What's that?
Number five? No, nothing.
Number right five.
Your head. I finally snuck a reference past your head. Mumbo number five. No.
Oh. Okay. So he says, yes, to his knowledge, he can inject capital into current operations. Does that include payroll, though? That's my biggest thing. Like, can he do that without stepping on other shareholders' toes? Or is there something? Because we all know that pretty much it's given foregone conclusion that the $12 million that was dropped in the Dominican on that new facility in the Dominican Republic, people are pretty much saying that was him. And, I mean, for him, that's like pocket change, as Bruhan Luke would say. That's like picking lint out of his pockets. I don't know. I felt like I read something, but you know, I just I don't understand why people think that it's probably going to be later rather than sooner for him to invest in the payroll.
I don't know. I feel like if Ishbia goes up to him and is like, hey, I want to spend $40 million on Kyle Tucker. This is all a simulation. This is not real. I'm not saying they're going to sign Kyle Tucker. But like, is Jerry really going to say no? Like, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to use your money to sign a free agent.
Well, okay. So B says, I guess that the purchase option agreement has fixed pricing so he can put more money into this thing. Okay. Including payroll. And it'd be creative to his investment, so why not? Yeah, and that's kind of my thought on this whole thing too, is, you know, after reading some articles that were like, oh, he's just gonna hurt his investment opportunity later, but when you look at the valuation of the team as it stands right now, where it's like $2 billion or $2.1 billion, whatever, well, the last time I looked at it was, if the White Sox go ahead and decide to start spending money on payroll and they start winning, and, you know, people start spending more money on merchandise and at the ballpark, and the valuation continues to rise as the team gets better. To me, in the long run, like, any valuation of the team that increases in the long run is beneficial to the guy who's going to be running and owning more, the majority. He's going to be the majority shareholder. Like, I don't see how that could hurt him in the long run. So, I don't know. I just wanted to bring that back up because we talked a little bit about it last week, and I thought that it was an interesting subject when folks are saying that's probably not going to happen anytime soon, and I find it very difficult to believe. So thanks for chiming in on that, Beef. Much appreciated. I know you're a financial guy in your personal life, so we figured we'd just kind of bring that up to you. And any and all thoughts are very much appreciated. So, hey, what's up, Toss? Good to see you. He's late. Says he got flamed on Twitter for
Don't
saying
bring that
this.
Name up in here.
What's that?
Ted. Shout out. Oh, you're not involved in the Twitter drama enough. Not that I am, but
oh, well, Ted's been in the chat tonight, so
wrong Ted.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. So he got.
I'm pretty sure that's Tad.
He
Ted. My bad.
Future. Let's see. He got flamed for saying the Sox have a better future than the Twins. To some Twins, oh, the Twins fan named Ted. Yes.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, right. Gotcha.
We can talk about this because we're looking for something to talk about. This is the tweet that he put out today. Let me see if I can't find it.
Yeah, I'm just going to go right through these fucking comments here because this shit is gold. Ian says Ted Shores. Yep, that's the one. We can talk about it because why not? We're playing against the Twins right now. It is the top of the eighth. By the way, Sox currently trail 3-1. So we're hoping for some late inning heroics here. Maybe hopefully get that... hopefully get us closer to that 60 win total and get Will Venable some meaningful manager of the year votes here coming up at the end of the season. But anywho, the Twins and their future. Right now, the Twins, especially their pen, looks absolutely atrocious, right? And reason being is I think they traded like 9 guys off of their 40 man at the All-Star break. A lot of folks call it like the equivalent of the Twins, you know, the White Sox white flag trade, you know, years ago. Do you think that the Twins have a better future than the White Sox, or do you think that's just hogwash?
Hogwash. Yeah. I mean, like, the whole argument is like the Twins have a better farm system, but like they still have that owner, and like Jerry's leaving in 5 years. Like, yeah, White Sox are way better off.
Oh, and it, you know, that's a great point because now we talk about adding money to the payroll.
Plus, the Sox have
what? Did I lose you? Are you still there?
All right, I'm back. Hold on.
Oh
no, I just said they've a better current roster as seen by the record against them this year. And more current players playing well instead of what the Twins have.
You heard it here first, by the way, folks, as I'm reading in the chat. Sounds like Beefloaf is reaching out to invite our very own Ian Eskridge to do an episode of the Au Jus. So be on the lookout for that. Ian says he's up for it. Always a good time when the two of them get together. And then Toss says he just sent you something on Twitter. But when we talk about the future of the Twins and the future of the White Sox, you can look at all the trades they made this year and the amount of prospects they picked up to better their farm system. And, you know, you can call it the equivalent to the white flag trades, whatever, the white, you know, just throwing in a towel on a 2025 season. We talking about Ishbia here just in the last few minutes. The only thing about him adding payroll is Jerry's not going to be here. If we've, you know, to finally, if the White Sox finally decide we're going to go ahead and throw out that 5, 6, 7, 8, 10-year deal, Jerry Reinsdorf is not going to be here to see that deal come to its end. So again, why would he care if there is money injected into the ball club and if the valuation of the team goes up by the time he's ready to sell?
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't – there's nothing in my mind that says that the Twins are in a better spot than the White Sox. Also, if you missed it and don't have Ian's tweet note, he's on. Shane Murphy got promoted. That's what was being talked about in the chat.
Indeed.
Which, fun pitcher, Shane Murphy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, we talked about them earlier in the show today. Another guy that needs to be protected for Rule 5. So good to see that he is being promoted and added to the 40-man.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So
no, to Charlotte, not to the Sox.
Is he not being added to the 40-man with that promotion, though?
I would assume not.
No, okay. Either way, is Clevenger still coming up? Baseball Toss wants to know. That is the question of the day. There has been some chatter amongst some folks that our people here at Future Sox are in the know and say that it was a thing, although it has not happened yet, so we're not 100% sure. Ian says maybe it happens in getaway day. We don't know. I'd much rather not see it. Again, Tanner Dugal would be, yeah. Maybe the scratch was something else, but for all intents and purposes, it sounds like sources of Future Sox are saying that it was at least a plan at one point, whether or not it remains to be seen. Why is Big Bryce up? Wolf, that is the question of the day. We kind of addressed that early in the show, and nobody has a good answer for that. Nobody has a good answer for Bryce Wilson being up. The guy's been shelled numerous times. And there are so many other names. Tanner McDougal. Sorry, buddy. We're all pulling for you. I don't know.
The answer, I think, is length. But. And then Ian Azzi just started in Charlotte tonight. Yeah, my guess is that he either A, got hurt, or B, they like saw the negative press and decided to go a different direction. But like, you have to know that there's negative press. Like that's like the whole Clevenger thing. He's a bad pitcher and he comes with bad luggage. Like that's, you know that. Chris Getz isn't stupid at that. I don't know
if they did they really need to see the outrage and the negative publicity to turn around and make that decision? They pretty much know the fan base is against him coming back and pitching in Chicago anymore. Makes you wonder that his friend in the front office is the one that's like, hey, let's get him up here one last time. And they went with it.
My other question is, like, screw you. Did that friend get bought out?
It's possible. Very possible. I don't know. That's so now David Rocca says he thinks the front office is afraid of adding to kids because of injury and pitches already. So we get losers. I don't know if we get losers. Yeah, I mean, Bryce Wilson, you know what you get with him. I don't know if I'd call him a loser, but he wouldn't be my first choice, right? He's just not the guy I want to see.
To play devil's advocate, the two pitchers that added last year have severely dropped off from last year in Iriarte and Sean Burke. So maybe there's something in there that they just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, it's possible.
Maybe the thought, and this is a wicked, this is like tin caps type stuff. So you're able to get Statcast data on these guys, right? If they're called up, and maybe that gives you more opportunities for like advanced scouting. You have more tape on these guys, right? And so then it's not a shock when these guys come up, and that's what hurt Burke in your area.
All right.
I don't know. That's my only thought process. I don't know.
All right. Tossed. We kind of talked about this one already. He says, is Braden Montgomery going to be starting right fielder in 2026? And to start the season, I'm going to say no. Talkman's still under contract for one more year. Unless he gets traded in the offseason, I'm going to go ahead and say.
He's still arb, too. He's not even under contract. Like, he's a cheap contract. He's an arb guy.
Who?
Talkman.
Yeah, he started late. But yeah, I don't see, unless he gets traded, he's going to be your starting right fielder. You can pretty much pencil him in as a starting right fielder right now. Now, Braden Montgomery, as long as he doesn't injure himself, even if he has a big spring, I don't see him getting the call up right away just because I feel like he's probably going to be a fourth outfielder if you were to bring him up right away. And the best thing for him to be would be to stay down and get everyday playing time instead of wasting away on the White Sox bench. So that would just be my personal thought on that, whether or not the White Sox go a different direction, completely, you know, possible, but unlikely, I think.
Yeah. My thought was they move him at the trade deadline. And that's what, whenever they trade him, Talkman gets traded at the deadline. Then whenever he gets traded, they bring up Braden. Because I think that fits Braden's timeline and everybody's timeline. My guess is he does get sent to Charlotte. It's rare that they move guys straight from Birmingham. Obviously, Grant Taylor happened. Popeye Rodriguez happened.
Pitchers are more easier. Often. You're going to see they're easier to skip, especially when you're going from pitching in Birmingham to pitching in Charlotte. I think that's actually a safer move just because, again, you don't want guys to go out and get shellacked in Charlotte just because it's a band box and everybody hits the ball well there. So, you know, it could be a blessing to not have to pitch in Charlotte before coming up to the MLB club and having your confidence absolutely rocked before getting here. So, yeah, it's pitchers are just easier to do that with. Position players, I would actually like to see position players get time in Charlotte where the best pitchers in AAA are at, including some of your MLB pitchers that are either on the last leg of their career or rehabbing from injury. You're going to get your better taste of real MLB pitching there, or at least as close to possible there. So I'd like to see Braden get some time there as well.
Yeah.
Let's see. I love how he's mashing in double A where the fields are massive and they still give up triples or doubles. Yeah, I mean, no doubt, David. It's if you can hit in Birmingham, chances are you can hit just about anywhere. You know, unless you're Colson Montgomery for whatever reason. You know, you mash in Birmingham, you go to Charlotte and you stink and they're like, hey, you know what? We're going to send you back to Arizona. And then you can come back and be the second half MVP.
Yeah.
In, like, all of baseball.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, you know what? We're at 1:02 here on the clock. Why don't we go ahead and wrap it up there? First off, again, as always, thank you to the chat. As B-Flow said earlier, smash the like and subscribe. you guys, the chatters are always awesome, keeping us going. I don't care. You know, some of you guys were apologizing for being late. It doesn't matter. We very much appreciate you. By the way, Sox has something going. Caro's on with a base hit in the top of the ninth with one out. So we'll see what the Sox. Maybe we'll stick around till the end of the year and see what the Sox can come up with. You know, we'll talk our way through that. But in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and do my sign-off stuff like I started to do here. But, yeah, as always, make sure you smash that subscribe button. Break your keyboard. Hit that thing. Hit the like button as hard as you can. Our super chats, anytime any of our future Sox shows are alive, super chats are open. Whether it's here with James or excuse me, Jacob and myself. You can also send super chats out to James and Ian if you like the content, as well as the guys over on our other podcasts with Elijah, Jeff, and Dylan Nutsies. If you like our written content and you want to check out our blogs, you can find that at futuresox.net. As well as finding our exclusive content behind the paywall. It's a $2 monthly fee for Patreon. Or I should say monthly donation. Patreon to get our stuff that is exclusive. A lot of guys putting in hard work and bringing you all their rankings and all of our prospect write-ups as well. And, of course, if you like highlights, you can find that here on our YouTube channel as well as on our X/Twitter feed. Ian works extremely hard to bring you as much minor league baseball highlights, sometimes lowlights, as possible. He spends a ton of time doing that. So, you know, if you can, give him a shout out, give him a thumbs up, but definitely give him a watch and take a look. And we're just going to sit here. We're going to hang out here and we're going to give out some hot takes and heaters while we watch the top of the ninth for the rest of the way here. So, Jake, you want to go ahead and Ian says he may or may not be cutting up videos as we speak at the moment. That's kind of funny because I know he is. But Jake, why don't you got any hot takes or heaters for us this week?
First and second, by the way, one out. Yeah, giving a heater to Kyle Teal. Dude's got like a 1,000 OPS last week. I'll take that. Also, Edgar Caro, who homered today and just singled. So,
yeah, you know what? I'm going to ride my horse that I've been riding all season. I'm going to eat my guy. I am happy to say has had a fantastic season. If it ended for him right now, he would probably be the most consistent White Sox player of the 2025 season as far as position players go. And that is the one and only Mr. Sosa. Kiss my ass to all you haters. I've been in this kid since the very beginning, and I'm glad he got his opportunity. Still doing what he does. Another dinger last night. Great to see. And leading the White Sox in the home run department with, I believe it's, what, 19 now? So, yeah, good stuff from him. Any hot takes? You want to throw something out there? Yeah.
Sir Ballmer was guilty. Let's hop sports for a second.
Dude, you caught me right mid-drag, dude. Mid-drag. Almost Sir Ballmer did it. Sir Ballmer did it. All right, I am going to throw one hot take out there, and I hate doing it because my hot takes never come, but I'm going to say we go on some kind of wicked run, and we get to either that 62-game win mark, and then we hit right at 100 losses, but I really, really, really want 63 so that the White Sox go one season here without 100 losses. That's my hot take. It's gonna happen. Also, Will Venable for manager of the year.
Rest in peace to Streamies. Not that I used it. I didn't partake in any illegal activities, but I know plenty of people who are affected by Streamies being taken down today.
Yeah, well, you know, what's that? FAFO?
What?
FAFO.
FAFO?
Yeah, FAFO.
Over my head.
Fuck around and find out.
There it is.
So
I'll take the year with Samuel Zavala. I like Sammy Zavala.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. Center fielder of the future. He's still only 19.
He is. Just
kidding. He's like 21.
No. Oh, dude. It just sounds like somebody hit a car on my block, and it better not be my truck. I just heard a big crash and what sounded like metal.
I think I heard it. I don't know.
Drunk down the street. Oh, boy. Well, I'm not even going to get up and look.
On that?
Nope. I don't want to know. I don't want
to
know.
You're eventually going to have to find out. I mean,
yeah, but you know what? If I run, it's going to be me. If I just let it go, it's somebody else. I'm just going to play it calm and play it cool. It's not me. It's not me.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe somebody's murdering somebody. The neighbor's just out there. And it's better off for me to stay in the house. I don't know.
Or it just was a hit and run. You could have caught the perp.
I don't. See? Ian's got the right idea. Just don't FAFO. I don't want to find out. Not right yet. Let's let the situation calm and cool. Come on, baby. Curtis Meade with one out. Men on first and second. Curtis Meade has got an opportunity to show exactly how clutch he is. And right now he's in his he's gonna see You're gonna see the fifth pitch in this at bat. Yeah, that was way outside, by the way. Inverse and proportional. Yeah, buddy. Let's go. Let's go. We need this one. We need this one. By the way. Oh, nope. Big swing and a miss. Anywho, if you're listening on the recorded version, you can probably...
Yeah, you should have turned this thing off like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, you should have shut this thing down right after Hot Takes and Haters, because right now we're just waiting out the end of the game. So, again, thanks for listening, but there's probably not going to be much of substance here tonight. And by the time you are listening, whether it's tomorrow morning or the day after, you're going to know the result of this game. So we're just hanging out for
the win. Give us more hot takes. What do we got here?
Yeah, what do you got? Ian, I haven't gotten a hot take or a heater from you all season. He's been in the chat a few times. Why don't we? What kind of hot takes and heaters you got for us tonight, Ian? You got anything at all? Oof. Baldwin hacking. All right, we got Baldwin. It's a 1-1 count with two outs. Men on first and second. Good take. David says, I like Brooks, just needs more pop, and then he can be left field. I mean, the pop seems to have been coming here lately. He obviously has potential for some power. But, yeah, I agree. I think he's going to have to spend some time in the offseason, obviously learning the position on the fly. He's made some plays. He has definitely looked better and looks like he's getting more comfortable in the outfield recently. I would like to see what he does with the offseason. Here we go. Here's a base hit for Baldwin. Runners on first and third. One crosses the plate. Still two outs. So we are down 3-2 with first and third. Baldwin with a broken back flare out into short right field.
Sir Taylor. David says we're on some sign of delay. I'm currently watching this game via ESPN like updates because.
And I'm watching on the CSN app or the CSN actually. Or CHSN, whatever the hell. But, yeah, I don't know. I wonder if
I'm far away from my TV.
Wonder if my stream's just slow. Here we go. Ian's hot take. Colson Montgomery will have 120 home runs next year with 140 total hits. I mean, dude. It sure looks like that might not be all that spicy.
I mean, the 120 home runs part is a little spicy. But what's he on pace for?
If he were to play a 162 season?
Is he in like a 60 home run pace right now?
It's got to be. He's on a faster pace than Nick Kurtz. Had he been playing the whole season, I think Nick Kurtz, the only category Nick Kurtz would have him on is probably, average, obviously. But I think Colson's OPS might be a little bit better. Although Nick Kurtz does get on base a lot.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think that's... Nick Kurtz is insane. I'm glad we won't have the Hagen Smith versus Nick Kurtz conversation. I'm glad that's...
Let's figure it out. Colson Montgomery. How many games has he played in? Let's see. Colson Montgomery has 48 games played. Tonight will be 49. With 16 home runs. So... 16, 32, 48, plus another 12. That's another 15 games. He's probably in the 56. I mean, just doing really quick math.
He's got what, 16 and 48?
Yeah, it'll be 49 tonight. So I'm just doing it like...
54.
Yeah. Not bad.
No, not for a shortstop. He'll take that.
Not a rookie shortstop.
Yeah, in general, yeah. Who also has five outs above average.
And the White Sox take the lead.
Are you serious?
Yes. White Sox are up 4-3. On a Michael A. Taylor double to finish out the end of the game. But thanks again, everybody, for checking in and chatting us up tonight. We really do appreciate it. If you want to hit up my partner, Jake, you can find him on X at jthome21. His DMs are always open for anything and anyone. No D-picks, though. Or I don't know. Maybe he likes, I don't know. Whatever. I'll leave
call that into my show here. Once I have a show.
Yes. I'll put you on. Jacob's going to be on sports radio in Peoria. So
Decatur.
I'm sorry. Decatur. So be on the lookout for that. Why did I think Peoria? I don't know. Anywho, be on the lookout for that. You can find me on Twitter /X at Danny Miller FS. Check out all our stuff on futuresox.net. Hit up the guys, watch their shows. Super chats are open. Donate to Patreon if you like our exclusive written content on the website. And until next time, guys, again, thanks for hanging out for a little extra time to watch this White Sox winner. We'll see you next week. Until then, go White Sox.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.